Welcome to the BioOptimize Summit, where we are exploring the next level of physical and mental health you can achieve through targeted and intentional optimization. And today I have with me a good friend, Dr. Joel Gator Warsh. Now, he is an integrative and holistic pediatrician located in Los Angeles, California. And he grew up in Toronto, Canada, though, and then went down to Philly for medical school and then ended up in Los Angeles, where he was an attending at the Children's Hospital of Los Angeles. He now works as a private practice pediatrician. He has worked in Pasadena and Beverly Hills, but now has founded the Integrative Pediatrics and Medicine in 2018, where he is still at. He has been in numerous documentaries, films, podcasts, and articles, including The Broken Brain 2, Dr. Nandy Show, CBS, LA Parent, Dr. Taz Show, and many others. And was just recently the host of his own summit called Integrative Pediatrics Summit. He is the medical advisor for Earth Conscious Films. Dr. Joel, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you so much for having me here. I'm excited.
Absolutely. So I know that you recently had a baby, a baby boy. So I really wanted to have you come and talk to us about how do we optimize our kids from such an early age? We know that is so crucial because it influences the rest of their life. How can we start things off right with our newborns? So tell us about that. Tell us about what you are doing. Fill us in.
Yeah. So I'm excited to chat about this. And, you know, Eli is doing great. And as we were talking about, you know, he's almost walking now. And so we're really, really excited to see where he goes and how he develops. But this is such an important topic because kids are just not healthy these days. So many kids have a chronic disease. So many adults have a chronic disease. It depends, you know, what research and what study you look at, but most of what I've seen says 25 to 50%, maybe even higher than that in some places, have a chronic disease. That's a big red flag. That is.
And it's on the rise. It's not stable. It's still rising.
It's still rising every day. I mean, we just talked about, you know, just autism alone. It was like one in 100, you know, 20 years ago. Then it was one in 40. Then it's one in 30. There's predictions that it might be one in 5 or one in 10 or one in 3. These numbers are scary. And somebody needs to sound the alarm bell and say, hey, like, there is something wrong. There's something going on that we're doing that is not right or not good for long-term health. And we need to think about these things and we need to make these changes from day one, or really, you know, before day one, you know, with the parents. And I think that's where we really have to start is.
I love it. I love it.
Yeah. You got to start even before conception or certainly during pregnancy. And we know that there are, you know, when you look at the blood they take from cord blood, and you know, there's several hundred chemicals and toxins that they find in research, even in cord blood. So there's something going on. We're surrounded by toxins. There are things that we need to be doing differently. And it's not necessarily clear cut, but there are lots of things that we can do to improve our health and optimize our health. And those are the things that we need to be doing. So for me, the biggest change I think is really important is to think about your foundation. So that's where I always start with all of my patients, all of my parents, all the interviews that people ask me, you know, what are the biggest thing that I can do is change your foundations of health. And I call them the seeds of health being stress, environment and toxins, exercise, diet and sleep. So these are the really big things that you have some control over and you have control of that even before your baby is born.
And has a huge influence, not only on your health, but then bringing a child into the world who's going to be taking on many of your health aspects, your biology, your genetics, and being able to have some control over that brings a lot of hope.
It does. It does. It does bring a lot of hope, but also brings, you know, some responsibility back to families.
Absolutely.
As well. And it's hard because we are surrounded by so many chemicals and so many toxins, and you don't necessarily have control over everything, especially, you know, if you live in a city, you know, yes, I guess you could move out into the mountains and the wilderness and start your own, you know, commune or whatever, but that's not realistic for most people. Though more people these days are moving out of big cities, but still, you know, we're still surrounded by chemicals and toxins. And so you need to be mindful because there are things that you can do to improve your own health, which in turn will improve your baby's health. Or, you know, if your baby is already born, you have older kids and it's going to improve their health, you know, as they go. And people ask me all the time, well, can these simple changes make a difference? Absolutely, they can make a difference. You can change the way that you eat. And there have been studies out of Berkeley where they look at the urine samples of patients, and they look at the chemicals in those urine samples, and they take them while they're having a normal diet, and they change to an organic diet. Yeah. And those samples a few weeks later, and the chemicals go down by 90%. That's just in a couple of weeks. So yeah, it makes a difference.
Mm-hmm. And then if you extrapolate that to long term, just the fact that we're starting to see the chronic diseases that usually have been in adults, and we're seeing those in kids, when we can see this objective change and progress with a diet change in just a few weeks and the toxins and stuff that are in their urine, and then we know that this is really going to make an impact on them, not only for the chronic disease development now, but for the rest of their life, because it just decreases that overall toxic burden and stress on their body.
Right, right. And I think it's super important just to stop right here and talk about this a little bit, because inflammation is just such an important topic. And chronic inflammation and chronic inflammation is what generally leads to chronic disease. But inflammation in general is important today, and it's important in the long term, just like you said, because we do have amazing bodies, and our kids have amazing systems, and they have detoxification systems, and we have, you know, livers and kidneys and all these things that can get toxins out of our body. So it's not that if you're around one toxin, it's going to be a huge disaster. It could be, right? I mean, we have seen it before where, you know, you have too much lead in your system, in your water, and that can cause really significant issues. But for most people, it's just a low-grade inflammation, and everyone's genetics are different. And so when you get inflamed with something, then your body can handle it up to a certain level, and everybody's level is different. And in functional medicine, we always talk about the bucket, you know, where there's water dripping in, and that water is the inflammation. Your body can handle most of it, and there's a hole at the bottom, and it drips out, and you're usually okay. But at some point, the water comes in too fast, and you overflow, and that's when you get sick. And for some people, that can be a toxin. If you're just exposed to some toxin too much, then that overflows your body and you can't deal with everything else. And then you see those kids that get sick every week, or they just can't handle a regular cold. They just can't kick a regular cold. And a lot of times it's just because their body is too inflamed with other things, whatever that is, whatever toxins that it is. And you do see it. And I see it in my practice where if you can identify some of those things,
right,
and parents take some steps, then you don't have to figure out every single thing that's an issue. But if you can improve 1% here, 1% here, 1% here, you decrease their stress, or you decrease the parent's stress, you improve the diet a little bit, you remove a few of the toxins, you maybe use better soap, a better skin cleaner, you use a different, more natural cleaner for the house, you maybe on the floor use some vinegar and water, and all of these things, slowly you start to see the kids start to improve, or the adults start to improve, and they're not as sick. And they're feeling a little better, and they have a little bit more energy, or their behavior is a little bit better. And it just gets them on a path towards health instead of a path towards illness. And right now we're seeing most kids on a collision course with illness. I mean, half the kids, right? So if you have two kids, that means one of them is going to be potentially on, you know, some sort of chronic medication. That's crazy.
Right. That's crazy to think of. That is not what used to be normal at all. No. And just thinking of the side effects of medications, how it changes our biology, starting a kid on a medication is a serious decision, and it has long-term consequences. And so when we have these tools that we can be addressing the root causes and avoid even going down that path, how much more powerful for our kids to be able to do that for them.
Yeah. And I think it's a super important point that you brought up about medication. And for me, I always say this. So we're not against medication. I'm not against medicine. I'm not against Western medicine at all. I'm an integrative doctor. I'm a holistic doctor. I believe in both. I believe in Western medicine, and I believe in holistic and natural medicine. There isn't one way that is correct. There is sometimes one way that is correct, and that's the job of a practitioner to decide when we should do either side. Medicine is amazing. Right. There are so many phenomenal things that we could do. We used to die of diseases. You know, we didn't have antibiotics, and now you could get a pneumonia, you get an antibiotic, you get better in a day or two. You get hurt, you know, you go to the emergency department, you can get an X-ray or an MRI, you can see what's going on. I mean, that's magical, right? There's nothing wrong with that. It's just about using it when you need to. There are many, many, many times, most of the time, where you don't need a medicine, and most people just don't understand that medicines have side effects. And if you give a medication just because it's the only option, then yes, it might help a little bit. Probably it's not doing anything. You know, if you have a virus and you give an antibiotic, it's not doing anything. That's antibiotic stewardship. That's medicine. There are other natural options that you could try. It might help, it might do nothing, but at least it's not going to cause side effects. And so we need to be balancing between those two. You know, we need to come together. Everything is so divisive these days. We're, you know, Western medicine and Eastern medicine.
Which one is better?
Oh, if you're in this one, everybody's crazy. You know, if you're into natural medicine, everybody in Western medicine is so crazy. And if you're in Western medicine, everybody in natural medicine, they're all woo-woo. It's all crazy. Right. But that's not true. There are good benefits of each side. Just look at acupuncture, right? People used to think that was really crazy in America. And, you know, who would stick a needle into their arm? And now it's in every hospital or most hospitals. It replaces pain medication because it works so well. Most things are not Western medicine until they're studied appropriately. And it's important to continue to study these natural medications and natural supplements, because they also could be dangerous too, right? So that's where we have to bring the two together. And there shouldn't be, you know, functional medicine and Western medicine and homeopathy and all
the, just medicine.
Just call it medicine. We need to learn a little bit about everything and work together as a team to bring health. And going back to kind of, you know, parent health and child health and newborn health, you need to be able to use all these different practitioners. There's so many amazing practitioners, and your doctor's super important for, you know, health and birth and all of those things, but there's also all sorts of other practitioners out there that can keep you well. Doctors are really, really good at treating illness and making sure that you don't get really sick, but we're not really trained in wellness per se. We don't get a lot of training in nutrition. Right. We get a lot of training in diseases or nutrition, but we don't get a lot of training in nutrition. There's nutritionists that are wonderful at that. You know, we don't get a lot of training in natural medicine. There's naturopaths that are great at that. There are chiropractors. There's Ayurvedic practitioners. There's so many other people that you can work with to keep yourself healthy. And if you're healthy, your baby is going to be way more likely to be healthy. It's a diet. It's a relationship. And the more stress that you have, the more stress your baby is going to be, and the more your hormones are going to be off, and the more we're going to run into issues. And all of those things add up to issues down the road. And you know, you can have all the stress in the world and your kid could come out when they're born totally healthy, but also they might affect them in some ways. I'm sure it does. And so we need to start back. We start back with the parents, right? Start back with the parents, fix and work on what we can do. And then that's going to cycle down into healthier kids down the road.
Yeah. No, I mean, studies have been very clear that maternal stress directly affects the development, the neurodevelopment, the hormonal development of a fetus. And so oftentimes, though, a mom might think that this is just emotional stress or psychological stress, and it certainly includes that, right? Absolutely. But there's so many other types of stressors, like you've mentioned, that can be biological. And those are also going to be putting a stress on the development of the uterus, of the fetus in the uterus, and affecting possibly even those toxins getting into those tissues and starting, you know, an infant then already having these biological stressors in their system that they're going to have to battle with. And it's like, then you're fighting your own biology to feel well and do well, you know, be able to focus in school, be able to, you know, pick up your toys or go to bed when you're told to because of the biological stress that your system is already under.
Right. And hey, how could it not affect babies? How could it not affect an unborn baby if you are stressed? You know, we know it affects your hormones. We know it affects your cortisol and your neurotransmitters, your norepinephrine, epinephrine, all of these things. And those affect your blood flow and all the other hormones. So if you are very stressed, then you're decreasing blood flow to you know, the uterus or to other places or your intestines, then obviously that's going to have some effect on a baby. And doesn't mean if you get stressed out that you're going to have a baby that's going to have issues. So it's not something that we should be, you know, shaming parents or people should be super worried if you've been stressed that that's going to cause a huge issue. But just think about it very simply, common sense. The more stressed that you are, then the more that's going to have effects on your body and the more that might affect the baby. So the more that you can just be a little calmer, do some meditation, go out into nature, whatever it is that makes you a little calmer, then that's going to be good for your baby. And every little thing that you do makes a difference.
There are many more people, especially as some professionals are starting to have children later in life, who are doing almost like a pre-pregnancy preparation phase, where they're trying to address their health, improve their health before getting pregnant. Did you and your wife do anything like this? And what were some of the things that you guys did in order to make sure that you were in good health going into this phase of parenthood?
We didn't do, I would say, a ton. I know a lot of people do that. We try to live pretty healthy, you know, in general. And I think
your baseline is pretty high.
Overall, if you're trying to eat healthy and do all those things, then you shouldn't need to make huge changes. You should be trying to live that way always. But there are many, many people that this is a kind of a wake-up call for them. They're like, okay, I want to have a baby, or I am pregnant now. I really need to think about this. This is not just for myself anymore. This is for my baby. And so that could be, you know, a really good time or a really good reason to change your health or to change some of your practices. So I think that is, you know, really useful. And it can be something that people can do. And I would say always the first place to start is the diet. You know, everybody's diet, or almost everybody's diet, is horrible in America. Even if you have a really good diet, you know, our food is just not the best. I mean, you can get as good as you can get, but most things are not just picked, you know, from your garden, right? That's where you're going to get the most nutrients. You know, a lot of our food is not nutrient dense. It's been, you know, farmed in a place where there's rapid turnover. A lot of our, you know, meat and chicken and all of these other things, they're not naturally grazing out there on grasslands. They're farm raised, and that has its own issues. And so the more that you can, you know, plant your own garden, eat your own healthy food, the more you can switch over from processed food to more organic food, things like that, grass-fed meat. You know, if you're doing that, then that can be helpful. And it's not that you have to go from eating cake to eating everything out of your own garden. Every little step makes a difference. So just make some small changes for yourself. Try to get preservatives and the sugar and the dyes and the chemicals. Try to get those out of your diet as much as you can. When you're shopping, make sure you're reading labels. Look at a label. You know, super, super important. This is what we always teach the kids in the office, but it's really important for our parents to do it too. Turn the box over and look at the label. There are long chemical names of, you know, alpha, gamma, blah, 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 whatever. It's probably not good for you, right? If it says
almonds. If you can't pronounce it, it's probably not good for you.
Yeah, if it has almonds and you know, cherries and whatever, then it's probably going to be at least decent for you. I mean, you got to look at some of all the ingredients, but if you at least know what all the words are, then it's going to be better for you than long chemical names and synthetic things, and try to stay, you know, on the outside of the shopping area and get more fresh fruit and vegetables and prepare food yourself as much as you can. Because even if you prepare the exact same meal as something you buy in a box, you know exactly what's going in there, and it's still going to be significantly healthier in general than the prepared food. There's always more preservatives in there. It's not fresh. You lose the nutrients as it sits there. So you can make the exact same food, but just make it yourself as much as you can. That's going to make a huge difference.
Yeah, I was speaking with Wade Lightheart from Bioptimizers the other day, and he was talking about the poor nutrient density in our foods today and how, you know, even just a peach, something that you think is healthy, one peach today only contains, you know, the equivalent nutrient density of, you know, 50 peaches today would be what you have to eat in order to have the equivalent of one peach, you know, several decades ago, just because of how things have changed with agriculture and preparation. And so the quality of our food is drastically different. And we need to be mindful of this if we're going to be optimizing our health and certainly optimizing our kids, especially when they're young and they're newborn and they're starting to, you know, go into eating solid foods and knowing what foods are going to set them up for success for life, because this is such a critical period for them.
Yeah, no, exactly. I mean, I work a lot with Earth Conscious Films, and their last film was called Need to Grow, and it was all about the soil and soil health. And you know, it's scary. It's really scary what's going on with the soil, and people just, you know, don't even think about, oh, soil is out there. But that's where we get our nutrients from, right? Everything, you know, if you have a tree, an apple tree, the apple falls down, you know, and then that dies and, you know, gets decomposed, and then it goes back into the soil and it gives it nutrients, and animals come by and eat the grass around and they poop and all of these things. And it's a cycle. But when you break that cycle, when you have this man-made production, you lose a lot of the nutrient density, you lose a lot of the value of that food. And yes, eating an apple is still you know, definitely healthier than eating, you know, candy bar, right? But it's not the same thing as it was 50 years ago. Like I said, it's not the same thing as, you know, you have an apple tree in your backyard and you pick an apple every now and again, you eat it, because the soil is just not filled with the nutrients that you need. And we forget that we're all made up of, you know, small particles and water and nutrients and all these things that that's what we're built of. And
if you break it down to the cell, yes, like that is our building blocks.
That's what we're built of. And we're, if you eat an apple, then you're built of what's in that apple. And that apple is built of what it ate and what the tree ate or what the plant ate or whatever the food is. And if there's nothing in the soil, if it's just, you know, really not good soil, then you're not getting good nutrients. And then the food, it might grow and exist, but it's not going to be nearly the same thing as it was if you did it correctly, you did it sustainably. And I mean, this is a whole, you know, other world of topic that we don't necessarily need to get into. But like, if you want to really talk about optimizing health in the long run, then it comes down to sustainability. We have to change our practices overall. And this is, you know, bigger than what you can do yourself every day. But it is important for everybody just to even start thinking about these things, you know, even if you just plant your own garden or have a few things in your home, because at the end of the day, if we keep having food that's devoid of nutrients, that comes at a cost. And that cost is the loss of our health.
Right.
So it just really is. I mean, it just comes down to it. It's an increased toxin burden and a decreased nutrient density. Those two things are what leads us to get sick. And kids over a chronic period of time, not having nutrient-dense food, that's where they run into issues. And that's why so many natural practitioners, they actually do quite well with kids, because the first thing that they do is they just increase
their diet
and give them some supplements. And then all of a sudden, wow, this kid is magically doing better. No, they just didn't have all the nutrients that they need. It's not always that simple, but a lot of times that's the first step to put them on a better direction. You can't get better if your body doesn't have the building blocks it needs to deal with its immune cells and create the proper cells and heal itself.
Yeah. In my interview with Tara Hunkin from My Child Will Thrive, we talked about this very same thing. Like, we are just so aligned in this, and that the toxins and the diet are the biggest problems. And for her, she's working with neurodevelopmental disorders, especially the sensory processing disorder, and kids can have sensitive nervous systems and, you know, all of the downstream effects of that, whether the emotional regulation, the behaviors, the focus. But so much of it just comes down to toxins and food and diet. And food is information, right? Like, food is information to our body. And when we are not taking in the nutrients that we need, it gives the information that, hey, we're in a period of stress, we're in a period of scarcity, and so we need to up our survival system, we need to up our inflammation. And then that's why we're starting to see the rise in the chronic diseases and even the neurodevelopmental disorders in kids.
Yes, yes. And that's a good, I think, segue to just go back to kind of the general topic that we were talking about here, which is like, what can we do to really help our kids today? What can we do to have our newborns grow up healthy? And again, I will repeat it, the foundations. That's what you can do today. Sit down for 5 minutes, think about what small changes in your foundation you could do just a little bit to help your kids grow up healthy. Think about all the stressful things and try to find something that will help you de-stress just a little bit. You know, and it doesn't mean you have to sit in a circle and sing kumbaya or do a meditation like that kind of way, or do chanting. That's not what meditation is. It's just anything that gets your mind off of all the stresses. And there's plenty of stresses right now. So you gotta really think about, what is it that you could do to get your mind off those stresses? Is it turn off social media? Is it, you know, maybe that's not possible for you, but is it 1 hour a day? Put your phone away, no social media for some breaks. Is it, I want to go outside into nature and go gardening, so you go for a little trip every day or go for walks? Is it doing meditation? Is it doing yoga? Is it, you know, having other people come over to the house, grandparents, and watch the kids for a couple hours so you can have a little break for yourself? You know, all these things are super helpful. Then toxins and environment. So think about, what are the things in your home? Every single thing, every single chemical that's in your life, what is it that you can do to decrease those chemicals just a little bit? Can you change up your cleaners in your home? Can you change up the skincare products that you have? Look for natural ingredients, just like with food. Look at the labels, look at what's on there. You know, if you're putting something on your skin, it's going into your body, and those are toxins. So you could, you know, water and vinegar, baking soda, all sorts of things that you can do, natural cleaners. Use some essential oils. You can get rid of a few things, and that's going to improve your environment a little bit. Diet, we talked about a ton. You know, so we don't need to go back into that too much, but just again, organic, non-GMO, get rid of the chemicals, get rid of the pesticides, get rid of the dyes and the preservatives, as much as you can within reason, within your budget, do what you can. Mm-hmm. And then sleep is the last one. So just making sure that you're getting adequate amounts of sleep. That's when your body detoxifies. And so it's just so important to make sure that we're detoxifying our body and getting ample sleep, because that's where you rest and recover.
And like you said, when kids are, because kids are, you know, still in their developmental stage and their whole system, their nervous system, every other system is still relatively young and forming. When we make these changes, oftentimes we can get results much faster than we can as adults. For adults, you know, it's a much longer process because we're having to undo so many more years of, you know, bad diet or toxins or stuff we may not have even known about, but it's been more integrated into our system. And with the kids, we can get so much faster results, changes in their energy and their focus and their behaviors and their connection with us when we start to implement some of this, because their system is still at that very, you know, pliable stage.
Yeah, you can get instant results sometimes. It's not mm-hmm. that uncommon with kids that if you're going to get anything that's going to be an instant result, a magical cure, it's going to be food changes, right? It's not a magical cure. It's just they eat something that's causing inflammation in their body. You take that trigger out, that inflammatory item out, and they start to do better. It doesn't mean that you change the diet and they're going to be magically better, but they could be, right? I have seen it many times, mm-hmm. especially with wheat and dairy. For some kids, they seem to be the biggest mm-hmm. two triggers these days. So if you take those out, if it's causing issues, then you can see a huge improvement. If you have a newborn, well, if you change up your diet, then if you're giving breast milk, well, that's going to change what's in the breast milk. And if they're not getting as many toxins in the breast milk, that's going to be helpful. So there's just so many things that you can do that can have immediate changes. And just don't forget that kids watch you if they're older, right? And you have to practice what you preach. And if you're eating healthy and have healthy food in the house, then they're going to eat healthy. If they don't have the option of having chips and crackers and all these other things there, if they only have veggies, that's what they're going to eat. If you have these snacks and you're eating them, then why are they not supposed to eat them? You know, you have to practice what you preach, and you can do it together. It's a family change. This is a lifestyle change. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And again, these are changes that a medication is not going to help. You know, a medication for a behavioral disorder, a medication for whatever, like you can't, there's no medication for a bad diet. There's no medication for toxins in the environment.
Right, exactly. And it's the same thing as thinking about a multivitamin, right? You know, there's nothing wrong with taking a multivitamin, especially if you're deficient in certain things, but you shouldn't be taking a multivitamin. You should be getting all your nutrients from food. Now, our food is so devoid of nutrients that so many kids do need it. And sometimes we do need a boost. So it's fine to take a multivitamin, but it's the same point as medication is you shouldn't be treating things with a medication if you can treat it with something that's more natural. And there's nothing wrong with using medication if you need it. It does help in some situations, and it's certainly very useful in certain situations. ADHD is a perfect example, right? Where, you know, obviously we're way over medicating kids. There are way too many kids that are taking ADHD medicine, but it doesn't mean that some kids don't need it and doesn't mean that it's not helpful. The medication is very, very helpful for some kids, but that shouldn't be your answer. Your answer is not, here's a medication, here's what you're going to take for the rest of your life. Your answer is, here's a medication, we're going to get you the medication so that way we can balance you out and we can help you do the things that you need to do to function and do well in school or whatever it is and whatever the reason is, or be behaved at home. But at the same time, let's think about the root cause of why we're having these behavioral issues. Let's fix up the diet. Let's think about the foundations. And maybe, just maybe, if you improve all of those things and you make those changes, you might not need the medication anymore, or at least you might be able to decrease the medication dose. And that's our goal at the end of the day, because medications have side effects. And if you're taking 10 milligrams of something and you can take 5 milligrams and you have the same results, that's better. If you can take, you're taking 5 milligrams and you can take 0 milligrams, that's great. And it might not be today. It might be 2 months. It might be a year. It might be 5 years. But if you can go through and get a kid off of medication, what better thing can we do for the future health and to optimize our health and to hack our health in the long run than to get those kids off? And that's not even hacking health. That's just common sense, really. But it, you know, today I think it is hacking health. This is what we need to do to keep our kids healthy, because otherwise those numbers keep going up. And as we said at the beginning, 50%, you know, around of kids have a chronic disease. That's scary. That's a disaster. That's a failure on humanity's part. That's a failure on our part in America. Mm-hmm. What we're doing, yeah, we're doing something wrong.
And we're setting the example, and we're, you know, raising the future of our society. And so we do have a responsibility.
Yeah, we do. We're setting kids up for a failure. And it's not that, you know, every time you have a chronic disease, that's just, is something that you did. But if you look at the statistics, whatever we are doing, our generation, the generation before, we are doing it worse, right? Yep. And it's not you specifically, it's all of us. In the way that we're living, in the way that we're consuming the earth, and the way that we're doing things not sustainably, and the toxin increase that we're not paying attention to, and just the rules that we have in North America and, you know, around the world in general, mm-hmm. we're doing so much wrong, and that comes at a cost. That comes at a cost of our kids' health. And our job, my job as a pediatrician, our job as health practitioners, is to leave the world a better place, to keep our kids healthier. And I feel like we're failing. We're failing as a society. We're failing as a health group of practitioners, because we're not changing the bigger things. We're not changing the way that people live. And if we don't do that, then nothing is going to change. And we're going to have 75% of kids unhealthy, every kid unhealthy. And if every kid's on a medication, it's not good. That's not good.
Right. And in our defense, right, this is not something that we necessarily grew up with. Our parents didn't have to do this. And their parents didn't have to do that for them. This is something that we're having to figure out by looking at what's going on, looking at the numbers, and realizing we've got to make some serious changes here, and we've got to learn how to do that.
Right. So. Exactly. And it's all about recognizing the issue. And we're, as humans, we're pretty bad at recognizing the issue till it's really bad, right? So it's like it was, you know, a little bit bad before, and things got worse and whatever. But now it is really bad. And we do need to recognize, and maybe we didn't cause the problem, but we are responsible to fix it. And we have tools.
We have the tools.
We do. There are things that we can do. There are societies all over the world that have, you know, terrible carbon emissions, and then they reduce those. There are, I was watching about Palau and the water and their coral reefs, and it was all gone, and they're like, it was bleached, and then they changed all their practices, and then it's back and thriving. Like, there are things that we can do to improve the earth and to improve our health and improve our kids' health. Yep. But it takes a bigger effort and a realization that this is a priority.
Yeah, it takes conscious effort. It's not going to just happen by mistake or happen naturally yet in our society. Right. And so the big game changers that I'm taking away are diet and toxins, and starting even before pregnancy. So the parents actually starting to make these changes, and then that already affecting and improving the health of their children. And then even more so when they are newborns, when they're developing, when they're, you know, in childhood, that is such a crucial time where we can influence their health for the rest of their life by addressing the two big, big pivot points, diet and toxins.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, you nailed it. And, you know, we got into some big topics, but that's, you know, sometimes too big for an event or for people to think about, but lots of specifics. You know, you can do it at home for your own family. There are very specific things that you can do to improve your health around you. And if you want to get more involved, if you want to be a part of the greater solution, great. But at least at a minimum, you know, think about your own health and your children's health, because there are things you can do to give them the best chance at success, the best chance to be healthy in the long run.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Dr. Joel, where can people find you? Where's the best place for us to send them?
The best place would be integrativepediatrics.com. You can check us out. We have lots of our own information and content out there around children's health. So you can go to integrativepediatrics.com, or you can on Instagram at Dr. Gator, Dr. Joel Gator.
Awesome. Thank you. And really, I appreciate you taking the time today. This is an important topic. Newborns, pregnancy is super important right now in our world. So I really appreciate you taking the time and sharing your experience and knowledge.
Thank you so much for having me.
And thank you for joining us today. I'm Dr. Amy, your host for this BioOptimize Summit. And make sure and get the discount price on the content and recordings while you can, because once that is gone, it is gone forever. And I would just love to see you inside and be able to connect with you more. Together, let's find that next level of health and aliveness.